Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Fasten your seatbelts. We are coming in for a landing. The plane of the doctrine of assurance of salvation has been flying throughout the Beacon broadcast for quite a few days now, even into weeks. But we are going to bring this study to a conclusion. And so the old plane is headed right for the runway. The runway is in sight, and we're going to be setting down very shortly. And at the end of the broadcast today, we're going to move on from 1 John 5:13 to the next few verses, which will bring us to the conclusion of our study of the first epistle of John. But for the last several broadcasts, we have been concentrating upon this doctrine of assurance of salvation, having come to verse 13 of chapter 5, which says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." I hope that our study has not become tedious because it has been long. I hope that we have touched upon some aspects that have been helpful to some who are struggling with assurance of salvation, who are true Christians and ought to be encouraged and assured of your relationship with Christ if you understand the true biblical evidence of assurance. And I also hope that there are some who have professed to be saved and had an assurance of salvation that was counterfeit because your profession of faith was not the manifestation of the new birth. In other words, I also hope that this study has shaken the false assurance of some who need to be born again. You'll never be saved until you recognize that you are lost. And one of the deceptions of our adversary, the devil, is to assure people that they're all right, that they don't need to be saved, when in fact they do, and will give them counterfeit evidences of why they know that they are a Christian, which have nothing to do with the Bible at all. And I hope in that case, your assurance has been shaken sufficiently to drive you to Christ. So that's where we are, and we are coming to a conclusion of it all on this Friday, February 15. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your presence today, and I thank you for your financial support of this Bible teaching ministry. All right, what are some of the things that we should focus on in our final words about assurance of salvation? One thing I hope you understand at this point is your responsibility, my responsibility, everyone's responsibility to examine the genuineness of your profession of faith. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. A lot of people professing faith in Jesus Christ have never been born again, which is why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, indeed, you are disqualified?" Now, obviously, I picked that text out of the context, and if you want to get to the root of what he's talking about, you'll have to go back and study it in that chapter, but the main point is clear. We have to examine ourselves to make sure that our claim to salvation is a valid one. It's genuine. It's not based upon a misunderstanding. That's what Paul says on the subject. Well, let's listen to the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Be more diligent to make your call and election sure, to make it certain. Now again, that text is plucked out of the context, and he tells us that if you have these things, you will never stumble. And what are these things? And that takes us back into what he said leading up to verse 10 of chapter 1, and I'm not going to go through that now, but what he gives are spiritual fruits that are evidences of salvation. Maybe I should go through them. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, well, that's what he said in verse 10, that you be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. But here in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Boy, that takes us into a whole other area of investigation about assurance of salvation and biblical evidences of salvation, which I'm not going to go into now because I promised to land the plane today, but we have this duty to examine the genuineness of our profession and thereby to reject unbiblical evidences. We don't have assurance of salvation because of something I did. I know I'm saved because I walked an aisle, I raised a hand, I prayed a prayer. We don't have assurance of salvation, not biblical assurance of salvation, because we have a date in our Bible when we prayed to ask Jesus into our heart. We don't have biblical assurance of salvation because of the statement of somebody else. Well, I know I'm a Christian because my mother tells me that she remembers when I prayed and asked Christ to save me. I don't remember it, but she tells me that I did, so that's the proof that I'm a Christian. No, 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 no. It's our responsibility to identify biblical evidences and to apply them honestly and humbly to our soul. That's one thing we should take away from the text in 1 John 5:13. A second thing we should understand is that salvation and assurance of salvation are two distinct realities. Regeneration is instantaneous and permanent. Regeneration is the theological term for the new birth. The new birth is instantaneous and permanent. Assurance is gradual and temporary. That is, it can come and go. Salvation doesn't come and go. When we are born by the Spirit of God, placed into union with Christ, become a member of the family of God, that is a permanent reality. That will never change. But assurance of that state is both gradual and sometimes temporary. It may come, it may go. And assurance is related to our knowledge of the Bible and our communion with God. When our knowledge is defective, our assurance will probably be defective as well. because solid assurance is based upon truth. It's based upon a knowledge of the Word of God. To the extent that we know what the Bible says about this subject, to that extent we should have a solid assurance. To the extent that we are not knowledgeable about what the Bible says, then we will probably be plagued by some doubts, and ought to be, and that should drive us to the Bible to learn more about what it says. And of course, communion with God is a part of this formula. If we are daily alone with the Lord in prayer, if we are daily searching His Word to understand what He has given, then that will contribute to a biblical assurance of salvation, but the neglect of these things will do just the opposite. So salvation and assurance are two distinct realities. It is possible to be truly born again, but not to be sure. And that's why we've taken this time to try to help you with that. But it is also possible to have never been truly born again, only having made some kind of an empty profession of faith that is not based upon the reality of the work of the Spirit of God within you, and on the basis of that, to claim salvation and to have some kind of an assurance of salvation which is not biblically based. That's not good. That's bad. That's fatal. It'd be better to be troubled about your assurance of salvation enough to drive you back to the Scriptures to find out, to make your call and election sure, to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Far better to be troubled and driven to the Bible for biblical answers than to be certain and mistaken. That's the worst condition. But if this study has helped you to solidify assurance of your relationship with God, then praise God for His grace, and continue to grow in grace and knowledge. Continue to strengthen Bible-based assurance of salvation. But if this study of assurance of salvation has made you uneasy, maybe has brought you to doubts that you didn't have before you heard these series of messages, and now you have doubts and concerns that you didn't have before, then what should you do? Take your concerns to Christ in prayer, ask Him for help, seek answers in the Bible, and that can only be good, because the very process of wrestling with questions about assurance of salvation is a wonderful spiritual exercise. It is beneficial. You will come out of that in far better spiritual condition than you were before. This is the very way God drives people to Himself, the very way He drives people into the Word, the very way He drives people into serious prayer is by taking away from them an assurance of salvation which has made them presumptuous and careless. And if God has done that, thank Him for it. And may that drive you to Christ again, or for the first time, really, may it drive you to the Bible again, or maybe for the first time, really. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who really have never spent any time in the Bible. So whatever this study has done for you, I trust that the result will be a biblical assurance of salvation, because you are now truly trusting Christ and have in fact been born again. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.